Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company this morning. Wisp, if you wanted to wander over to the States, and we've got a great fascination with American sport, then you'd want this man's job, I reckon. He currently hosts the NFL Primetime, a sport that you and I both love. He's hosted Sports Center. He's also got his own radio show, Golic and Wingo. His name is Trey Wingo, well known to sports lovers here in Australia, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, Trey. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Well, we're going beautifully. We read your bio here, and we're envious. I mean, we love our American sport here. where does your great passion lie?
I was always a National Football League fan, American football. That's always been my favorite sport. But, you know, I've been very fortunate to cover a lot of things, tennis, golf, pretty much everything that one would want to do. I feel very fortunate about that, and it's been a lot of fun.
Trey, how did you get started?
It's funny. I always loved sport, but I wasn't really good at it. So, like, when I was in high school, we had a very preliminary sort of videotape system, and I started calling basketball games for my high school, like, inter-school feed, and that sort of got my interest. And then when I went to university, I was like, nah, I don't want to do this. It's too much work. And then I sort of fell out of it. And then I took a real job and was like, well, that sucks. Let's go back to the sports thing. That seems like it would be more fun. And that's sort of how I fell into it again.
And you're at college with Steve Young. Is that right? I mean, there's a guy that took the career path that perhaps you wanted to originally.
Yeah. I got a real job, and it was like, no, I sat in an office and, like, this is not for me. So I moved back into my parents' basement and got a job at NBC Studios, which is in New York City, and sort of worked my way up from a guided tour, a guy that gave sort of tours of the building, and got a local TV job in a small market in upstate New York, and that was the beginning of it.
Hey, Trey, in American sport, there's always a lot going on over there in the States. Right now, what's the biggest story that you're talking about in sports?
Well, it's incredible what's going on with the baseball scandal right now with the Houston Astros. I mean, this is normally a time where we would be really heavy into the NBA and also college basketball, which is a huge deal here. But this thing is sort of just, imagine taking a small fire and then throwing gasoline on it and seeing what would happen. Mm. And it seems like every day someone continues to throw gasoline on the fire of the Astros sign-stealing scandal. And every day, a player or a manager from another team is just saying, this is the worst thing we've ever seen. I can't believe they won a championship and they're letting it stay. And it's continuing to fester. And I don't know where it's going to end at this point.
So, Trey, there'd be some or a large part of our audience perhaps that aren't aware of what was going on. Essentially, there was a Major League Baseball championship won by the Houston Astros, and there was a controversy over the stealing signs from the pitcher. And everyone's conceded that it's happened.
Right.
They've all fessed up. They've sacked the coach. They've sacked the general manager. But they've held on to the championship. How does that happen?
That's a great question. I think that's what a lot of people are wondering. And you're right. A lot of people do steal signs in baseball. For people that aren't familiar with baseball, basically the sign is the catcher giving the pitcher the sign of what he wants to throw, whether it's going to be a slider, a fastball, a changeup, a curveball, anything like that. And so the Astros used the camera at their home stadium to sort of get videotape of every pitcher, and they matched it with the pitches later that they saw, and they were able to come up with this elaborate system where they would bang drums to the pitcher, to the batter at the plate to let them know what pitch was coming. And, you know, there's been steroid scandals in Major League Baseball about people using performance-enhancing drugs and all that kind of stuff, and everyone believes what the Astros did was much worse than that, and it really is sitting very poorly with most of the people in Major League Baseball that they did retain that championship. And, you know, the commissioner as you said, sacked the manager and the general manager, but none of the players were suspended. And they were, you know, they admitted to doing it, and they're sort of like, oh, well, we got away with it. And that has just ticked people off. And I'm telling you, the Houston Astros are going to lead the league this year by a wide margin on the most players hit by a pitch.
Okay, so that's the way they get back at it. I mean, there's a conspiracy theory around that perhaps that this is a much broader issue across the whole competition. Therefore, we won't sort of bang the drum we won't sort of beat the drum too hard because, you know, come back to haunt every other team.
Well, yes, and there's no question that, like, if you can find a way to steal signs in a game, that's sort of fine. But the elaborate use of technology, I think, is what got people very upset. And, and more importantly along those lines, guys, 2 years ago, Major League Baseball came out with an edict that said, listen, we've seen people using an Apple Watch, for example, on trying to track this stuff. Do not do this, because if you do it, you will be held accountable. And the Astros took it and said, hold my beer, and just ran with this as far as they could go.
Hey, Trey, LeBron James has now bought into this as well on Twitter. How powerful is his voice?
Yeah. Well, he's extremely powerful. And my favorite thing about the LeBron James tweet this morning that we were laughing at was he says, I don't play baseball, but I am in sports. Does LeBron James really have to say he is in sports? I thought that was a given, that we all knew that LeBron James was in sports. I thought that was hilarious. But I'm telling you, like, the commissioner of baseball here, and a man named Rob Manfred, has just done, he's made it worse. He tried to defend his actions by not taking away the championship by saying, I don't know what taking back a piece of metal would do, which is the championship trophy that you get when you win the World Series here. And players were like, a piece of metal? Are you kidding me? He actually had to apologize for that. I don't think this is over. I think there's been such a massive backlash in the States that I think Rob Manfred is going to have to try and do some sort of punitive damage to the players. Now, the Astro players will fight this, and they may win it through their players' union. But at the end of the day, if you do that, if you're the commissioner, then you can say, hey, I tried, and then it's on the players and the players' union. They look bad. So to me, him not doing anything is like, and just throwing up his hand saying, there's nothing we can do. It's just a horrible decision.
It is, it is. We'll watch with great interest as it unfolds. Hey, we love watching you on NFL Primetime, and this station, we covered the Super Bowl. We sent one of our stars over there to call the game back into Australia, so we're invested heavily, and Tom Brady is the biggest off-season story at the moment. What can you tell us?
Well, you know, it's interesting, because Tom has, as for all the things he's accomplished, guys, there's two things you need to know. A, he was a sixth-round pick. He barely got drafted. The draft was only seven rounds long back in 1999, or 2000, excuse me. And so he's always had that chip on his shoulder. And then he went to the Patriots, and the Patriots have always been a very team-friendly place when it comes to contracts. You know, he's been putting up all these numbers. He's never been the highest-paid player in football, or never even been the highest-paid quarterback in his position. So I think Tom wants to feel the love. There are a lot of people that believe at this point, because Tom, when he retires from sport, he's not going to just fade off and become a fisherman. You know, that's not going to happen. Tom has big plans for his life after football is done. Much in the same way when LeBron James went to the Lakers for that first year, people were like, well, they're not ready to win, so what's he doing? LeBron was setting himself up for his next act, which would be a media mogul and, you know, doing entertainment and producing and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's why I think the Chargers in Los Angeles are a very appealing place for Tom Brady. For those reasons, also, there are a very good football team, and the Chargers are, in every way, guys, the second team in Los Angeles behind the Rams. They're the second tenants in that brand-new stadium. They need a fan base. They need to fire up. They need to find a way to sell tickets. And what better way to fire up that fan base and, hey, we have the greatest quarterback of all time coming to play for us. So I think that's a very interesting scenario.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. So also, there's a new franchise being established in Las Vegas. I'd love to have a headline act there.
Exactly. Same thing. And, you know, Tom and his wife, Giselle, they are about the glamour. They are about the glitz. I mean, they go to all these parties and all these big things in New York, and they dress like they are a Las Vegas hotel room at times. So, I mean, nothing would surprise me. The glitz and the glamour thing, it matters to them, and I think it's about establishing his brand going forward, whether it's going to be as a mogul of some kind. Mm-hmm. There's also talk that maybe he wants to potentially get into politics. And I think being on a large stage like that would certainly benefit those things that he's interested in.
Hey, Trey, that's one of the fascinating things that we read about in American sports now, as the sports stars over there see themselves as being bigger than just sports people. They all seem to be trying to create their own brand and move into business almost while they're still playing their sports.
Yeah, you know, Cam Newton was the first guy before he was drafted, guys, out of college, and before he had played a single down, he said, I don't want to be just an athlete. I want to be an icon. And we were like, no, let's worry about the football part first, because if you don't do that, then the icon thing is not going to follow. But he's done that to some degree. You know, he took a team to a Super Bowl. He was a league MVP. But you're right, LeBron's the same way. If Dwayne Wade, all these guys, they want to set themselves up as, like, maximizing not only their ability but their publicity and how they can use that to set themselves up and, quite frankly, their families up for generational wealth.
Who's the, of all the sports people that you've sat down and spoken to, and I know a lot of people in recent times, given the passing of Kobe Bryant, have talked about how fascinating he is. Who's been the most interesting person in sports that you've ever sat down and interviewed?
You know, that's really interesting, and it happened to me before I got to ESPN 22 years ago. I worked in a city in the States called St. Louis, Missouri, and Arthur Ashe, the tennis player, was a man from Richmond, Virginia in the 60s, but Richmond and the state of Virginia, quite frankly, were so segregated that as an African-American man, he could not play tennis there because that was predominantly a white sport, a country club sport. So he played his high school tennis in St. Louis, and he came back for a fundraiser for the parks, the inner city tennis courts that he played at in the early 90s, just after he had been diagnosed with having HIV and AIDS after a blood transfusion. And he was one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life, because calling him just a tennis player would be like saying, I don't know, that like Daniel Craig is just James Bond. You know, he had a million different things that he was going on. He was an entrepreneur. He was an activist. He was someone who was very interested in politics and change. You know, he led the block of the Sun City tennis tournament in South Africa at a time when apartheid was rampant. He was just one of the most fascinating people I've ever met in my life, and he died 6 months after that interview. And right before he died, he wrote a book called Days of Grace about his final days on Earth and dealing with what was then a terminal disease, a terminal diagnosis. And I don't think to this day I've ever met someone who I thought encapsulated more than just an athlete than the time I had with Arthur Ashe. And I'll always be grateful for that.
It's a great story, Trey, and it's a great way to wind the chat up. We've got our 7 o'clock news coming up. Thanks for jumping on and joining us. We're very envious of the job you get to do over there, and hopefully we can stay in touch and chat again.
I'd love that, and I'm very envious of you guys being in Australia. It's a wonderful place, and I look forward to my next visit.
We'll make sure you drop in and visit us. Thanks for joining us. That's Trey Wingo from ESPN NFL Primetime, just an all-round media guru over in the States. We're going to do our toughest of the 80s and 90s, speak to Gavin Brown and Mark Harvey in the next half hour.